If you'll bow your heads, we'll run to the Lord. Father, I just thank you that you are the author and the finisher of everything that we are. And I ask you now to release this word so that these will grow in wisdom and in strength for your glory. In Jesus' name. I want to remind you that in Genesis chapter 2, God gave us a very strong word. I'd like to give you verse 15. The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it, to take care of it. Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat." I stress, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. But, 17, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you do eat it, you will surely die, etc. If you go by the natural understanding of that word, you'll see God as a person who is giving freedom to his creation. Yet, with caution, the one particular tree was good for knowledge. The knowledge of good, we think we can do pretty good. And the knowledge of evil, we think we can do very well. However, I want to show you in the Word how destructive that can really bring forth. When God speaks a word to you, people will try to put their opinion in. People will try to put their own understanding to it. So I want to take you to John chapter 9. And in John chapter 9, I'm going to spread this thing out a little bit and to give you a little bit of what happens when you listen to the darkness. Verse 33 of John chapter 9. This is a man who was blind, but he says, if this man was not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Now, you say, well, why are you giving me that right now? I'm giving you that because that's the opinion of men. You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? Is really the commission of the high officials of that day. That should give you a clue about the high officials of this day. They'll accuse you of being steeped in sin from birth. And what kind of knowledge do you really have? Watch now. I'm going to back it up to verse 20. His parents are responding. "We know he is our son," the parents answered. "And we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." Now I'm pushing buttons in reverse so that you'll get a picture of the fear tactics that are used to control. Because if you don't have that picture, you're going to think, oh, well, what else is new? Now let's go back to verse 1, chapter 9. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Notice the tree of life. There were two trees in the garden. The one he told them not to take care of and not to listen to was the one that's been pushing buttons at the end of this chapter. But the tree of life said, verse 3 is the truth. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Say, wow. Wow. It wasn't because he was steeped in sin or his parents had sinned. The lie was prevalent. But the opinion of Jesus was what? Superior. Who's accusing you? Who's pushing your buttons? Who's trying to throw you out? Men. With opinions of men. Knowledge of the good and knowledge of evil are the same tree. So if you try to discern it on your own, you're going to be in trouble because the disciples were concerned. Now, verse 3 is most important. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. Jesus is the tree of life. Amen? Neither this man nor his parents sinned. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Would you do me a favor? Would you close your eyes right now and put your hand on your heart? Say, my parents.
My parents.
And even my grandparents.
And even my grandparents.
And even myself.
Are not the problem.
All these things happened to me. That God might display himself in my life. All that's happened to me is for God's glory to be displayed in my life. It's not all about sin.
It's all about the tree of life,
who is Christ Jesus himself. Amen? All right. Verse 4. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. But while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Verse 6. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claim that he was. Others said, no. He only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open, they demanded. And he replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. Oh, how many germs did he put on his eyes? How many times did he wash his hands before he touched his eyes? Oh! He spit on the ground. How unclean. I know you're laughing inside. You better. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Oh, those germs did it again. Where is this man? They asked him. He said,
The Pharisees, the high intelligent ones, investigate the healing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath, which you can't work. There's another problem. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. So he's automatically disqualified. He don't fit my religious background. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? They were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes that he opened. The man replied, he's a prophet. Talk about wisdom, huh? The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Witnesses. I need witnesses. I need to know. Amen? We know he is our son, the parents answered. Verse 19. Is this your son? They asked, is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? Verse 20. We know he's our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided. Who had decided? The Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. So it was more important, even for the parents, to stay connected to the religious system rather than to speak the truth, because they were afraid of excommunication. That was why the parents said, he is of age, ask him. Verse 24, a second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, the man, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Now you got to remember, he's a beggar. He's a blind man. He has no education. Verse 26. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. The blind man is teaching the Pharisees. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Good hit. Amen? Then they heard insults, hurled insults at him, and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. So they're proud. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. Verse 30 is awesome. The man answered, now that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from? Yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Look at what he's saying. Every blind man, every beggar, every person that's broken is born and steeped in sin. That was the religious tradition of that day, and it hasn't changed. It has not changed. If there's something wrong with you, you're a sinner. Was it the opinion of the tree of life? What was the opinion of the tree of life? It was for God's glory. Your difficulty is for God's glory. Your broken heart is for God's glory. Your broken body is for God's glory.
I know I'm on my soapbox. I like it. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. Aha. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so, that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." What's he talking about?
Pharisees.
He's talking about those that think they got all the answers. He could be talking about your opinion and mine. Because your opinion could be based in what you think are facts, but not the truth. Jesus is the truth, and he's the way, and he's life. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What are we blind to?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Be careful when you respond, because judgment can be your downfall. The very judgment that you may pass against the one that's having a hard time, physically, emotionally, or spiritually, would possibly be that God had a plan for them as well as you. Don't look at your background as an irritation. Oh boy, I hit a brick wall. I hit a brick wall. Close your eyes right now. Say, "My background is not an irritation. It's a building block for God. And it's for glory. For Him. To use me. And where I came from. So that I can help others in their weakness. In their difficult space. And I will pour in love. Because love never fails. And if I don't start loving me and my background, I'm taking the tree of life and canceling its opinion. I love the opinion of men, which is a total lie from hell. Because it's comfortable. I'm going to repeat what Jesus said about the blind man. Neither this man nor his parents sin. But all these things happen so that the work of God might be displayed in my life. In my life. Not the neighbor's life alone. But my life. He's doing something. This very day. He's taking my hurts. He's taking all the infirmities. And he's setting me free. By pouring his glory inside of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Now I want a show of hands on how many found that prayer a little uncomfortable. Put it way up. Look around. Why is it uncomfortable? Because you're declaring God's truth. And it goes against the grain. If I had said to you, let's all say, "Oh my God, you were steeped in sin at birth and you dare, how dare you lecture us?" and threw him out. You would have all accepted it. Yes, I agree. I was steeped in sin. Baloney. Baloney. Do you want to go with the Pharisees?
No.
Do you want to go with the opinions of men?
No.
Do you want to go with the opinion of the tree of life?
Yes.
What is the opinion of the tree of life? All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Romans 8:28. All things, all backgrounds. The woman at the well had five husbands. She didn't live with any one of them. She was divorced. Oh, you can't mean that, Pip. Yes, I can. Go to John chapter 4. You got me on a soapbox? I can feel it. The anger inside of me at this stupidity of condemning people because they had a divorce. You know, it's sickening. Let's love the Lord. Let's love His creation. Love will heal divorce. Oh, you say you have no idea. I've had five. I don't care if you had 10. Jesus didn't die for those that were perfect. He died for those who were broken. Look at your neighbor. Say, you were broken. So was I. And God's love is putting me back together. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Get a new opinion. Get a new thought pattern. Got it? Get a new opinion. Get a new thought pattern.
Not easy.
I didn't say it was easy.
No, it's easy.
But it is God.